and environments and experiences. You will find them to be as vivid as any you know. Such explorations will completely alter somber preconceptions about existence after death. It is very important that you divest yourself of as many preconceptions as possible, however, for these will impede your progress. You may take a short break.
10:23 to 10:39.
Generally speaking, if you are fairly content about physical reality, you are in a better position to study these inner environments. If you see evil all about you in physical life, and if it seems to outweigh the good, then you are not ready. You should not embark upon an exploration of these nightly adventures if you are depressed, for at this time your own psychic state is predisposed toward depressing experiences, whether awake or asleep. You should not embark upon such a study if you hope to substitute inner experience for physical experience. If your ideas of good and evil are rigorous, unbending, then you do not have the understanding that is necessary for any conscious manipulation in this other dimension. In other words, you should be as flexible mentally, psychologically, and spiritually as possible, open to new ideas, creative, and not overly dependent upon organizations or dogma. You should be fairly competent and sympathetic. At the same time, you should be outgoing enough in your physical environment so that you are capable of handling your life as it is. You need all your resources. This is to be an active exploration and endeavor, not a passive withdrawal, and certainly not a cowardly retreat. Toward the end of this book, methods will be given for those who are interested so that you can explore these after-death conditions consciously, having some control over your experiences and progress. Here, however, I want to describe these conditions somewhat more thoroughly. Now, in physical life, you see what you want to see. You perceive from the available field of reality certain data. Data selected carefully by you in accordance with your ideas of what reality is. You create the data to begin with. If you believe all men are evil, you simply will not experience the goodness in men. You will be completely closed to it. They, in turn, will always show you their worst side. You will telepathically see to it that others dislike you, and you will project your dislike upon them.
10:54.
Your experience, in other words, follows your expectations. Now the same applies to after-death experience, and to the dream experience, and to any out-of-body encounters. If you are obsessed with the idea of evil, then you will meet evil conditions. If you believe in devils, then you will encounter these. As I mentioned earlier, there is greater freedom when consciousness is not physically directed. Thoughts and emotions are constructed, again, into reality without the physical time lapse. So if you believe you will be met by a demon, you will create your own thought form of one, not realizing that it is of your own creation. Therefore, if you find yourself concentrating upon the evils of physical existence in such a manner, then you are not ready for such explorations. It is, of course, possible under such conditions to meet a thought form belonging to someone else, but if you do not believe in demons to begin with, you will always recognize the nature of the phenomena and be unharmed. If it is your own thought form, then, in fact, you may learn from it by asking yourself what it represents, what problem that you have so materialized. Now, you may hallucinate the same sort of thing after death, use it for a symbol, and undergo a spiritual battle of sorts that would, of course, not be necessary had you more understanding. You will work out your ideas, problems, or dilemmas at your own level of understanding. Now, end of dictation for this evening. Unless you have questions, I will end the session.
Do you know what I said to Jane yesterday about our going on tour to promote the Seth material? Do you have any thoughts on this?
I will discuss it at a later date.
Okay.
Not too late a date. My heartiest wishes then, and a fond good evening.
Good evening, Seth. It's been very interesting.
I hope to keep you interested in my saga.
11:02 p.m. Jane's trance had been good. He's got the whole rest of that chapter planned, she said when she came out of it. I can sense whole blocks of material already, but now it starts to fade to go. As it turned out, we didn't ask Seth about promotion work again, and he didn't bring up the subject himself. The Seth material was published in September 1970, and we did go on tour. Session 539, July 1st, 1970, 9:18 p.m., Wednesday. At the end of the last session, which was held the day before yesterday, Jane told me that Seth had the rest of Chapter 10 planned. Tonight, now, she said she didn't have the slightest idea of how Seth would continue his work on the chapter. The day had been very hot and sticky. Stormy weather had been building up for some hours. Finally, it began to rain hard with thunder and lightning at about 9. We wondered whether a session would be held, since Seth had told us some time ago that electrical displays interfered with trance states. Yet the session began as usual. Seth, at least, was apparently not bothered.
Now, we will resume dictation. After-death environments exist all about you, now, period. It is as if your present situation and all its physical phenomena were projected from within yourself outward, giving you a continuous running motion picture, forcing you to perceive only those images that were being transposed. These seem so real that you find yourself in the position of reacting to them constantly.
Pause at 9:23. By now, the storm was so noisy that Seth increased the volume of his voice.
They serve to mask other quite valid realities that exist at the same time, however, and actually from these other realities you gain the power and the knowledge to operate the material projections. You can set the machine on idle, so to speak, stop the apparent motion, and turn your attention to these realities. First of all, you must realize that they exist. As a preliminary to the methods I will give later, it is a good idea to ask yourself now and then, what am I actually conscious of at this time? Do this when your eyes open and again when they are closed. When your eyes are open, do not take it for granted that only the immediate perceivable objects exist. Look where space seems empty and listen in the middle of silence. There are molecular structures in every inch of empty space, but you have taught yourself not to perceive them. There are other voices, but you have conditioned your ears not to hear them. You use your inner senses when you are in the dream state and ignore them when you are waking.
Now the lights dimmed a couple of times.
The inner senses are equipped to perceive data that is not physical. They are not deceived by the images that you project in three-dimensional reality. Now, they can perceive physical objects. Your physical senses are extensions of these inner methods of perception, and after death it is upon these that you will rely. They are used in out-of-body experiences. They operate constantly beneath normal waking consciousness.
There had been an accident or fire or both in our section of the city after the storm broke loose. With sirens screeching, several cars and trucks sped past on Walnut Street, two doors away. I expected all the racket to break Jane's trance, but it didn't. She paused for a few moments and then continued.
so that you can even become familiar with the nature of perception after death now. Period. In other words, the environment, conditions, and methods of perception will not be alien. You are not suddenly thrust into an unknown. That unknown is a part of you now. It was a part of you before this physical birth and will be after physical death. These conditions, however, have been blotted out of your consciousness in the main throughout physical history. Mankind has had various conceptions of his own reality, but he has purposely, it seems, turned away from it in the last century. There are many reasons for this, and we will try to cover some of them. Take your break.
9:37. Break came early, considering the time the session began. "Things are unsettled," Jane said. "I was bothered at times." She had been aware of the sirens, especially. She said her trance had been pulsating or wave-like. She would go in good and then swing up closer to her usual state of consciousness. Yet, as far as I could tell, the material was as good as ever, the manner of her delivery unchanged. The rain, thunder, and lightning continued unabated, the noise racketing back and forth over the city. It was the kind of a storm in which even this big and solid house shook at times. Jane's voice was still stronger than usual when she resumed, though, at a slower pace, at 9:52.
"In many ways, then, you are dead now, and as dead as you will ever be. While you go about your daily chores and endeavors, beneath normal waking consciousness, you are constantly focused in other realities also, reacting to stimuli of which your physical conscious self is not aware, perceiving conditions through the inner senses, and experiencing events that are not even registered within the physical brain." That whole last portion should be underlined. "After death, you are simply aware of these dimensions of activity that you now ignore. Now, physical existence predominates. Then it will not. Nor, however, will it be lost to you. Your memories, for example, will be retained. You will simply step out of a particular framework of reference. Under certain conditions, you will even be free to use the years seemingly given to you in different ways."
10:01.
"For example, I told you time does not consist of a series of moments, one before the other, though you do perceive it now in that fashion. Events are not things that happen to you. They are materialized experiences formed by you according to your expectations and beliefs. Inner portions of your personality realize this now. After death, you will not concentrate upon the physical forms taken by time and events. You may use the same elements as a painter might use his colors."
10:07. We were now having a very heavy, hard rain.
"Perhaps your lifespan runs for 77 years. After death, you may, under certain conditions, and if you choose, experience the events of those 77 years at your leisure, but not necessarily in terms of continuity. You may alter the events. You can manipulate within that particular dimension of activity that represented your 77 years. If you find severe errors of judgment, you may then correct them. You may perfect, in other words, but you cannot again enter into that frame of reference as a completely participating consciousness following, say, the historic trends of the time, joining into the mass hallucinated existence that resulted from the applied consciousness of yourself and your contemporaries. Some choose this rather than reincarnating, or rather as a study before a new reincarnation. These people are often perfectionists at heart. They must go back and create. They must right their errors. They use the immediately past life as a canvas, and with the same canvas, they attempt a better picture. This is a mental and psychic exercise undertaken by many, demanding great concentration, and is no more hallucinatory than any existence. Now you may take your break.
10:14. Jane's trance had been deeper, but she was surprised at the short delivery. She thought she had been out for a longer time. The rain had tapered off somewhat by now, and it was cooler. "It's still a strange night," she said. Resume at 10:31.
You may feel that you want to relive certain episodes of your life so that you can understand them better. Your life's experience, therefore, is your own. Such conditions certainly are not alien. In ordinary living, you often imagine yourself behaving in a different manner than you did, or in your mind re-experiencing events in order to gain greater understanding from them. Your life is your own personal experience perspective, and when at death you take it out of the mass physical time context, then you can experience it in many ways. Events and objects are not absolute, remember, but plastic. Events can be changed both before and after their occurrence. They are never stable or permanent, even though within the context of three-dimensional reality they may appear so. Anything of which you are aware in three-dimensional existence is only a projection of a greater reality into that dimension. The events of which you are conscious are only those fragments of activities that intrude or appear to your normal waking consciousness. Other portions of these events are quite clear to you both in the dreaming state and beneath waking consciousness during the day.
10:42. Jane's pace was quite slow.
If you want to know what death is like, then become aware of your own consciousness as it is divorced from physical activities. You will find that it is highly active. With practice, you will discover that your normal waking consciousness is highly limited, and that what you thought of once as death conditions seem much more like life conditions. End of dictation. Now, there is some instability this evening resulting from the atmosphere, but we held the session in any case.
I thought it was good.
We will end it, however. There is some additional strain on Rupert in such circumstances, and there's no need prolonging it. A fond good evening.
The same to you, Seth. 10:46. Jane said she felt all right. Although her trances had varied somewhat tonight, the only additional strain she'd been aware of, really, was some trouble going back into trance after breaks. Afterwards, we talked over Jane's recent idea, to holding, say, a session per day for 6 consecutive days, to see how much Seth would get done on the book in such an arbitrary period. It would be interesting to see part of it produced that way. The idea never materialized, however, even though Seth had expressed his willingness to try something like this back in March, when Chapter 3 was underway. See the notes for the 10:31 break in the 519th session, and Seth's subsequent remarks. Jane stopped looking at the book in the 521st session for March 30th. It's now July 1st. Session 540, July 6th, 1970, 9:29 p.m., Monday. Good evening, Seth.
Now, we will resume dictation.
Pause.
Such other existences and realities as just described coexist with your own, and in the waking state, you are not aware of them. Now, often in your dreams you are able to perceive such other situations, but you often wind them into dream paraphernalia of your own, in which case, upon awakening, you have little clear memory. In the same way, in the midst of life, you dwell with so-called ghosts and apparitions, and for that matter, you yourselves appear as apparitions to others, particularly when you send strong thought forms of yourself from the sleep state, or even when unconsciously you travel out of your physical body. There are obviously as many kinds of ghosts and apparitions as there are people. They are as alert or as unalert to their situation as you are to your own. They are not fully focused in physical reality, however, either in personality or in form, and this is their main distinction. Some apparitions are thought forms sent by survival personalities out of lingering deep anxiety. They portray the same compulsive type behavior that could be seen in many instances in your ordinary experience. The same mechanism that causes a disturbed woman, say, to perform repetitive actions such as a constant washing and rewashing of hands also causes a particular kind of apparition to return time and time again to one place. In such cases, the behavior is often composed of repetitive action. For various reasons, such a personality has not learned to assimilate its own experience. The characteristics of such apparitions follow those of a disturbed personality, with some exceptions, however. The whole consciousness is not present. The personality itself seems to be having a nightmare or a series of recurring dreams during which it returns to the physical environment. The personality itself is safe and sound, but certain portions of it work out unresolved problems and discharge energy in such a fashion.
944.
They are, in themselves, quite harmless. Only your interpretation of their actions can cause difficulties. Now, in the middle of life conditions, you also appear on occasion as ghosts in other levels of reality, where your pseudo-appearance causes some comment and is the ground for many myths. And you are not even aware of this. Now, I am speaking generally. Again, there are exceptions where memory is retained, but as a rule, ghosts and apparitions are not any more aware of their effect upon others than you are when you appear quite unconsciously as ghosts in worlds that would be quite strange to you. Thought, emotion, and desire creates form, possesses energy, is made of energy. It will show itself in as many ways as possible. You only recognize the physical materializations, but as mentioned earlier in this book, you send pseudo-forms of yourself out from yourself of which you are not aware, and this is completely aside from the existence of astral travel or projection, which is a much more complicated affair. You appear in astral form in realities that are comparatively more advanced than your own. You are usually recognized because of your disorientation. You do not know how to manipulate. You do not know the customs. But whether you have a physical form or not, if you have emotions or feelings, these will take form. They have a reality. If you think strongly of an object somewhere, it will appear. If you think strongly of being in another location, a pseudo-image of yourself will be projected out from you to that place, whether or not it is perceived, and whether or not you yourself are conscious of it or conscious in it. This applies both to those who have left your physical system and to those who are in it.
955.
All of these forms are called secondary constructions, for as a rule, full consciousness of the personality is not in them. They are automatic projections. Now, in primary constructions, a consciousness, usually fully aware and alert, adopts a form, not his native one, and consciously projects it often into another level of reality. Even this is a rather complicated endeavor, and one seldom used for purposes of communication. There are other, much easier methods. I have explained to some degree the way images are constructed out of an available field of energy. You perceive only your own constructions. If a ghost wants to contact you, therefore, he can do so through telepathy, and you can yourself construct the corresponding image if you desire. Or the individual might send you a thought form at the same time that he telepathically communicates with you. Your rooms are full now of thought forms that you do not perceive. And again, you are as much a ghostly phenomenon now as you will be after death. You are simply not aware of the fact. You ignore certain temperature variations and stirrings of air as imagination that are instead indicative of such thought forms. You thrust into the background telepathic communications that often accompany such forms, and you turn aside from all clues that other realities exist quite validly with your own, and that in the midst of one existence you are surrounded by intangible but valid evidence. The very words life and death serve to limit your understanding, to set up barriers where none intrinsically exist. You may take your break.
10:07. Jane was easily out of trance. Her delivery this evening was a bit different than usual. Her voice was quiet, almost conversational in manner and pace, although the speed varied at times. Resume in the same way at 10:18.
Some dead friends and relatives do visit you, projecting from their own level of reality into yours, but you cannot, as a rule, perceive their forms. They are not more ghostly or dead, however, than you are when you project into their reality, as you do from the sleep state. As a rule, however, they can perceive you on those occasions. What you often forget is that such individuals are in various stages of development. Some have stronger connections to the physical system than others. The length of time an individual has been dead in your terms has little to do with whether or not you will be so visited, but rather the intensity of the relationship. As mentioned earlier, however, in the sleep state, you may help recently dead persons, complete strangers, to acclimate to after-death conditions, even though this knowledge is not available to you in the morning. Some others, strangers, may communicate with you when you are sleeping and even guide you through various periods of your life. It is not a simple matter to explain life conditions as you know them, so it is extremely difficult to discuss the complexities of which you are not aware. The main point I want to make in this chapter is that you are already familiar with all conditions you will meet after death, and you can become consciously aware of these to some extent.
Pause. Smile at 10:29.
End of chapter. Now, give us a moment.
Seth Speaks by Jane Roberts. Copyrighted material. All rights reserved.
Chapter 11. After-death choices and the mechanics of transition. There are unlimited varieties of experience open to you after death, all possible, but some less probable than others, according to your development. Very generally now, there are three main areas, though exceptions and extraordinary cases can take other roads. You may decide upon another reincarnation. You may decide to focus instead upon your past life, using it as the stuff of new experience, as mentioned previously, creating variations of events as you have known them, making corrections as you choose. Or you may enter another system of probability entirely, and this is quite apart from a reincarnational existence. You will be leaving all thoughts of continuity of time behind you in such a case. Now, some individuals, some personalities, prefer a life organization bound about past, present, and future in a seemingly logical structure, and these persons usually choose reincarnation. Others naively prefer to experience events in an extraordinarily intuitive manner, with the organization being provided by the associative processes. These will choose a system of probabilities for their next main endeavor. Some simply find the physical system not to their liking, and in such a way take leave of it. This cannot be done, however, until the reincarnational cycle, once chosen, is completed. So the last choice exists for those who have developed their abilities through reincarnation as far as possible within that system. Some, finished with reincarnation, may choose to re-enter the cycle acting as teachers. And in such cases, some recognition of higher identity is always present. Now, there is an in-between stage of relative indecision, a mid-plane of existence, a rest area, comparatively speaking, and it is from this area that most communication from relatives occurs. This is usually the level that is visited by the living in projections from the dream state. Now you may take your break.
10:45 to 10:54.
Before the time of choosing, however, there is a period of self-examination, and your full history becomes available to you. You understand the nature of the entity, and you are advised by other portions of that entity more advanced than yourself. You will become aware of your other reincarnational selves, for example. There will be emotional ties with other personalities whom you have known in past lives, and some of these may supersede your relationships in the immediately past life. This is a meeting place for individuals from your own system also, however. All necessary explanations are given to those who are disoriented. Those who do not realize that they are dead are here told of their true condition, and all efforts are made to refresh the energies and spirits. It is a time of study and comprehension. It is from this area that some disturbed personalities have those dreams of returning to the physical environment. It is a place of commerce between systems, so to speak. Conditions and development are important, rather than the length an individual stays in this area. It is an intermediary step, but an important one. In your dreams, you have been here. Now, end of dictation. I wanted to end one chapter and begin another. I will close the session unless you have questions.
I guess not.
My heartiest wishes to you both, and a fond good evening.
Good night, Seth, and thank you very much. 11:05 p.m. Session 541, July 13th, 1970, 8:40 p.m., Monday. No session was held for July 8th as scheduled. Tam Mossman, Jane's editor at Prentice Hall, called this morning to say that the first copies of her book, The Seth Material, have arrived at Prentice Hall from the printer. He's mailing a book to Jane today. This afternoon, I gave myself suggestions that I have a projection experience when I lay down, but I did not succeed. Then, shortly after supper, I had a visual experience like that described in the notes for the 534th session in Chapter 8. I told Jane about it as it progressed. Once again, she was concerned, but as usual, I felt no alarm. The experience lasted for perhaps half an hour. In Chapter 8, Seth had said this was my way of trying to see models for my paintings. I hoped to see something really good this evening now that I was prepared, but nothing developed. The only after effect was a slight headache, as before, and this soon passed. Maybe, I thought, the experience was a delayed reaction to the projection suggestions. Just before the session, I asked my pendulum a few questions, keeping in mind that I wasn't so sure this technique should be used to explore other than physically oriented data. Usually, I get excellent results with the pendulum. I learned now that the visual interference effects had been caused by my unsuccessful attempts to perceive a thought form sent out by a survival personality. This backed up the reasons given by Seth, then, for the eye phenomenon. Usually, we use the pendulum to reach information that is just below normal waking consciousness. I also learned that no particular painting of mine was involved, nor were my efforts to project this afternoon. that the survival personality was unknown to me, and that the pendulum couldn't tell me who the personality was. With this explanation, I didn't feel it necessary to ask Seth about the experience. I did hope he would comment on it, but he did not. Jane and I were both ready for the session ahead of time for a change.
Now I bid you an early good evening.
Good evening, Seth.
Resume dictation. Reincarnation involves far more than a simple decision to undergo another physical existence. In this in-between period of which I am speaking, many issues, therefore, are considered. When most people think of reincarnation, they think in terms of a one-line progression in which the soul perfects itself in each succeeding life. This is a gross simplification. There are endless varieties of this one theme, individual variations. The process of reincarnation is used in many ways, therefore, and in this time of rest, individuals must decide on the unique way in which reincarnation will be of use.
8:45.
Some, for example, choose to isolate various characteristics in a given life and work on these almost exclusively, basing a given existence upon, say, one main theme. As seen from a physical viewpoint, such a personality would appear very one-sided and far from a well-developed individual. In one life, the intellect may purposely be very high, and those powers of the mind carried as far as the individual can take them. These abilities are then studied thoroughly by the entire personality, both the benefits and the detrimental aspects of the intellect weighed carefully. Through experience in another life, this same kind of individual might specialize in emotional development and purposely underplay intellectual abilities. Again, the physical picture would not be necessarily that of a well-developed or balanced personality. Specific creative abilities might be specialized in the same manner. If you looked at these lives as a series of progressions in usual terms, then you would be left with many questions unanswered. Nevertheless, the development does occur, but the individuals choose the way in which they prefer this development to take place.
8:51.
Through denying themselves, say, intellectual development in a given life, personalities also learn the value and purpose of that which they do not possess. The desire for it is then born within them, if, for example, earlier they did not understand the purposes of the intellect. So in the time of choosing, personalities decide upon the ways in which they will develop in the following incarnation. Some will choose progression at an easier rate and in a more balanced manner. They will help keep all the strands of personality working at once, so to speak, and even meet again and again people they have known in other lives. They will work out problems at a rather easy rate rather than in, say, an explosive way. They will pace themselves, as dancers do. In this time of rest and choosing, all counsel is given. Some personalities do reincarnate before they are advised to, for many reasons. This is usually unfortunate in the short run, for the necessary planning has not taken place. But in the long run, great lessons will still be learned from the error. There is no time schedule, and yet it is very unusual for an individual to wait for anything over 3 centuries between lives, for this makes the orientation very difficult, and the emotional ties with Earth have become weak. The relationships for the next life have to be settled upon, and this involves telepathic communication with all those who will be involved. This is a time, then, of many projections. There are those who are simply loners, who reincarnate without any great feeling for Earth's historical periods. There are others who like to return when their contemporaries from some particular past historical time return again, and therefore there are group patterns that involve reincarnational cycles in which many, but not all, are involved.
to me now at 9:02.
You, for example, did not operate within a cycle in those terms. Now, there are personal cycles, of course, in which families may reincarnate, taking different relationships to each other, and you have been involved in several of these. There are different depths to be probed in reincarnational existences. Some choose to go all the way. These personalities specialize in physical existence, and their knowledge of this system is most comprehensive. For these, there is a movement through each of your racial types, a requirement that is not laid upon most. There is intensive preoccupation with historical periods. Many of these personalities live comparatively short lives, but very intense ones, and they experience more lives than most other individuals. They return, in other words, in as many historical times as possible, finally helping to shape the world as you know it. You may take your break.
9:08. Jane's pace had been fairly fast most of the time, her voice quiet. As she came out of trance, we heard the paper boy coming up the stairs. I paid him. Not long after these sessions began several years ago, Seth told Jane and me that the three of us had experienced lives in Denmark in the 1600s. Ever since then, I've thought my interest in the art of Western Europe for that same period, embracing the work of Rembrandt and Vermeer, Van Dyck and Rubens et al., more than coincidental. I mention to Jane now my curiosity as to whether my artistic career had any connection with my Denmark life. I wanted to know my lifespan then also. Resume at a slower pace at 9:20.
Now, dictation. In one way or another, you are all travelers before you begin even your first reincarnational cycle. To make it as simple as I can, I will say that you do not have the same backgrounds necessarily when you enter the physical system of reality. As mentioned earlier, earthly existence is a training period. And yet, as far as possible, I would like you to forget your ordinary ideas of progression. Ideas of good, better, best can lead you astray, for example. You are learning to be as completely as possible. In one way, you are learning to create yourselves. In so doing, during the reincarnational cycle, you are focusing your main abilities in physical life, developing human qualities and characteristics, opening new dimensions of activity. This does not mean that good does not exist, or that in your terms you do not progress, but your concepts of good and progression are extremely distorted. Now, many personalities have extraordinary talents along specific lines, and these may show up again and again in succeeding existences. They may be tempered, used in various combinations, and yet overall still remain a personality's strongest mark of individuality and uniqueness. While most people adopt different trades, occupations, and interests, for example, throughout the reincarnational cycle with some, there will be a very noticeable line of continuity. It may be broken occasionally, but it is always there. They may be priests or teachers, for example, almost exclusively. There will be some more material in this book dwelling specifically upon reincarnation, but here I want to point out that in this time of choosing between lives, many more issues are at stake than a simple matter of proposed rebirth. On occasion, some personalities may be given an exception to the general rule and take a sabbatical from reincarnations, a side trip, so to speak, to another layer of reality and then return. Such cases are not common, however. Such matters are also decided at this time. Those who choose to leave this system, whose reincarnational cycles are finished, have many more decisions to make. Entering the field of probabilities can be compared to entering the reincarnational cycle. There will be a sustained focus of awareness and existence in an entirely different sort of reality. Powers latent but barely glimpsed within the multidimensional personality are drawn upon and used when such a choice is made. The psychological experience varies considerably from that you know, and yet there are hints of it within your own psyche. Here the personality must learn to group events in an entirely different way, and completely without any reliance upon the time structure as you know it.
940.
In this one, as in no other reality, intellectual and intuitive abilities finally work so well together that there is little distinction between them. The self that decides upon reincarnational existence is the same self who chooses experience within the probable system. The structure of personality, however, within the system is quite different. The personality structures with which you are familiar are but one variety of the many forms of awareness available to you. The probable system, therefore, is as complicated as the reincarnational one. Now, I have told you that all action is simultaneous. Therefore, on the one hand, you exist in both systems at once. However, to explain to you that decisions are involved, and to separate these events, I must simplify them to some degree. Put it this way, a portion of the whole self focuses in reincarnational cycles and handles developments there. Another portion focuses in probabilities and handles developments there. Parenthetically, there is also a probable system, of course, in which no reincarnational cycles exist, and a cycle of reincarnations in which no probabilities exist. The openness and flexibility of the personality is highly important. Doorways to existences can be opened, and the personality can refuse to see them. On the other hand, all probable existence is open, and consciousness can make a door where there was none in those terms. There are guides and teachers in this time of choosing and decision to point out alternatives and to explain the nature of existence. All personalities are not at the same level of development. There are therefore advanced teachers and teachers at lower levels.
951.
But this is not a time of confusion, but of great illumination and unbelievable challenge. There will be later material in this book on the God concept that will help you understand some things that remain unsaid in this chapter. Now, for those who choose to recombine, mix or match events from the immediately past life to try it over in new ways, for example, lessons must also be given. In many of these cases, there is a severe problem and a certain rigidity coupled with the perfectionist characteristics mentioned earlier. The Earth years will be experienced again, but not necessarily in continuity. The events may be used in any way the individual chooses, altered, played back the way they happened for contrast, the way, perhaps, an actor would play an old movie in which he appeared over again in order to study it. Only in this case, of course, the actor can change his approach or the ending. He has full freedom within the events within those years. The other actors, however, are thought forms, unless a few contemporaries join in the affair together. Now you may take your break.
10 o'clock. During the last delivery, someone began to move into the apartment above us. Once out of trance, Jane said she had been bothered by the racket over our heads, but that she held on to the trance until break. Resume at the same slow rate at 10:12.
Now, under these conditions, the personality manipulates events consciously, of course, and studies the various effects. The focus demanded is quite intensive. He is told the nature of those who participate with him. He realizes they are thought forms, for example, and his own, but again, thought forms do possess a certain reality and consciousness. They are not cardboard actors for him to simply push around at will. He must, therefore, take them into consideration, and he has a certain responsibility toward them. They will grow in consciousness and continue their own lines of development on different levels. In one way, we are all thought forms, and this will be further explained in the material dealing with the God concept. Understand, however, that I do not mean that we lack our own initiative for action, individuality, or purpose. And remember also here that you live from the inside out. Then perhaps the statement will have more meaning for you. Now, in this time of choosing, all of these matters are considered and suitable preparations made, but the planning itself is all a part of experience and of development. The in-between existence, therefore, is every bit as important as the period that is chosen. You learn to plan your existences, in other words. You also make friends and acquaintances in these rest periods whom you meet again and again, and only, perhaps, during in-between existences. With them, you may discuss your experience during reincarnational cycles. These are like old friends. The teachers, for example, are themselves within a cycle. The more advanced ones have already encountered the systems of reincarnation and probabilities, and are themselves deciding upon the future nature of their own experience. Their choices, however, are not your choices. While I may mention some other realms of existence open to them in a later chapter, we will not be involved with them here. Now, give us a moment. End of dictation.
Pause at 10:27. I yawned.
Are you awake and alert?
Yes.
Then give us a moment. We have two broken up periods for you. One very brief, 1611 to 1635, this is Denmark. Then 1638 to 1674. In one of these, the information is as I gave it several years ago. I was a spice merchant and well-traveled. I also carried paint pigments, or what ended up as paint pigments. Now give us time.
Pause.
There was a group of three men, painters. We will get what we can. Pronunciation is poor. We are after a name that sounds like M-A, then Dimir.
My phonetic interpretation.
I do not know if that was called Ma Dimir.
With gestures.
There is a connection someplace here with music and a Peer Gynt suite. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Woods and charcoal, coal fires. You, I believe, now working on the floor of a hut, involved in the final process of making charcoal.
Long pause.
A connection with Van Elver, though I am not sure of its extent.
I've painted a portrait of Van Elver, who is the 14th century artist, Danish or Norwegian, from whom Seth receives information on painting techniques.
The name Widur.
Phonetic.
And a Germanic firm who handled artists' supplies then and was also famous for the dyeing of cloth and clothes. To assemble this material is difficult, not to get it. Van Elver the Younger. The cities were clearing houses for country artists, but many more painters did portraits of wealthy farmers and their land and establishments. These were hung, of course, in places of honor in the homes. Even the poorer peasants and farmers bought portraits of themselves, however, from perhaps less gifted artists, and many unknowns took payment for portraits in the form of room and board and painted all the more slowly.
Jane, as Seth, smiled and leaned forward.
Now, you were a minor artist of that nature for a period. Not, therefore, during your entire life. You did better than room and board, and purchased land where you determined to settle down. Two friends continued to travel and paint, however, and visited you occasionally, and you envied them to some degree. One became fairly well known at the time. His name was Van Dyck, but not the famous one. You loved your land, but blamed it also. thinking that perhaps you might have been well known as an artist had you not obtained it. You thought you would settle down and paint on your fine farm, but instead you turned into a farmer, and a lecherous one at that. There is some connection here with your ambiguous feelings about money now, you see, and possessions. Family name, as close as I can come. Ramenkin or Ramankin?
Both my phonetic interpretations.
The letters H-E-I-M. These form either the first name or were tacked on to the name just given. You did my portrait then, too.
That's interesting. As Seth, Jane pointed to my portrait of Seth. It hung on the wall behind me so that she faced it as she sat in her rocker.
You did a better job this time.
Well, that's good.
Give us a moment. That was my last full reincarnation, adopted then because I loved the sea and it served a strong purpose in spreading ideas from one country to another. The men who traveled with me also took part in the seeding of ideas. We spread them about the world, as it was then known. Frank Withers was a fragment personality of mine. He will continue himself to reincarnate and go his own way. Many of us leave fragment personalities as you leave children. Do you follow me?
Yes. Frank Withers was the original name given to us when the sessions began in late 1963.
And now I wish you a fond good evening.
Good evening to you, Seth. Thank you very much.
And you must do me in charcoal sometime.
Okay.
I may even appear and sit for you, though briefly.
All right. 10:57 p.m. Jane's trance had been deep. We've received little information on our past lives, preferring to wait on this endeavor for various personal reasons. We found the data concerning Denmark intriguing. Jane and I ended up unsure, though, as to whether I lived two short lives or one longer life divided into two spheres of activity. This, in turn, led me to wonder if tonight's session contradicted one held several years ago, in which Seth stated that I had lived to an old age in the Denmark life. Jane had been my son. Actually, there was no contradiction, merely a misinterpretation on our parts. Seth goes into more detail on this in the 595th session in the appendix. I do a lot of drawing in charcoal in this life, too. Session 546, August 19th, 1970, 9:20 p.m., Wednesday. Seth has suspended dictation on his book for the last 5 weeks. 2 weeks of this went for our vacation, but otherwise we've been very busy. Of the 4 regular sessions held in the remaining time, large portions dealt with matters growing out of the September 4th publication of Jane's own book, The Seth Material, and a projected radio and television tour. Now that we could relax a little, however, we had every confidence that Seth would easily resume work on Chapter 11 of his book, even though Jane hadn't looked at it for quite a while now. Such was the case.
Good evening.
Good evening, Seth.
Now, we will resume dictation. The time of choosing is dependent upon the condition and circumstances of the individual following transition from physical life. Some take longer than others to understand the true situation. Others must be divested of many impeding ideas and symbols, as explained earlier. The time of choosing may happen almost immediately in your terms, or it may be put off for a much longer period while training is carried on. The main impediments standing in the way of the time of choosing are, of course, the faulty ideas harbored by any given individual. A belief in heaven or hell under certain conditions can be equally disadvantageous. Some will refuse to accept the idea of further work, development, and challenge, believing instead that conventional heaven situations are the only possibility. For some time they may indeed inhabit such an environment until they learn through their own experience that existence demands development and that such a heaven would be sterile, boring, and indeed deadly. Then they are ready for the time of choosing. Others may insist that because of their transgressions, they will be cast into hell, and because of the force of such belief, they may for some time actually encounter such conditions. In either case, however, there are always teachers available. They try to get through these false beliefs. In the Hades conditions, the individuals come somewhat more quickly to their senses. Their own fears trigger within themselves the answering release. Their need, in other words, more quickly opens up the inner doorways of knowledge. Their state does not usually last as long, therefore, as the heaven state. Either state, however, puts off the time of choosing and the next existence. There is one point I would like to mention here. In all cases, the individual creates his experience. I say this again at the risk of repeating myself, because this is a basic fact of all consciousness and existence. There are no special places or situations or conditions set apart after physical death in which any given personality must have experience. Suicides, as a class, for example, do not have any particular punishment meted out to them, nor is their condition any worse a priori. They are treated as individuals. Any problems that were not faced in this life will, however, be faced in another one. This applies not only to suicides, however. A suicide may bring about his own death because he rejects existence on any but highly specific terms chosen by himself. If this is the case, then of course he will have to learn differently. Many others, however, choose to deny experience while within the physical system, committing suicide quite as effectively while still physically alive.
938.
The conditions connected with an act of suicide are also important, and the inner reality and realization of the individual. I mention this here because many philosophies teach that suicides are met by a sort of special, almost vindictive fate, and such is not the case. However, if a person kills himself, believing that the act will annihilate his consciousness forever, then this false idea may severely impede his progress, for it will be further intensified by guilt. Again, teachers are available to explain the true situation. Various therapies are used. For example, the personality may be led back to the events prior to the decision. Then the personality is allowed to change the decision. An amnesia effect is induced so that the suicide itself is forgotten. Only later is the individual informed of the act when he is better able to face it and understand it. Obviously, however, these conditions are also impediments to the time of choosing. It goes without saying that an obsession with earthly concerns also acts in the same manner. In such instances, often the personality will insist upon focusing his perceptive abilities and energies toward physical existence. This is a psychic refusal to accept the fact of death. The individual knows quite well that he is dead in your terms, but he refuses to complete the psychic separation. Now, there are instances, of course, where the individuals concerned do not realize the fact of death. It is not a matter of refusing to accept it, but a lack of perception. In this state, such an individual will also be obsessed with earthly concerns and wander, perhaps bewildered, throughout his own home or surroundings. The time of choosing will, of course, necessarily be postponed. The mechanics of transition, therefore, are highly variable, as the mechanics of physical life are highly variable. Many of the impediments that I have mentioned impede progress not only after death, but during your own physical existence. This should certainly be taken into consideration. An overly strong identification with the sexual characteristics can also hold back progress. If an individual considers identity strongly in terms of male or female identity, then such a person may refuse to accept the fact of the sexual changes that occur in reincarnational existences. This kind of sexual identification, however, also impedes personality development during physical life. You may take your break and we will continue.
9:53. Jane's trance had been good, her pace rather fast, her voice quiet. She wasn't as active or strong as she had been last night, though, when she held a session for her ESP class. Resume at 10:11.
Now, while, generally speaking, the issues just mentioned operate as impediments, there are always exceptions. A belief in heaven that is not an obsessional belief can be used as a useful framework, as a basis of operation in which an individual will often accept easily then the new explanations that will be offered. Even a belief in a time of judgment is a useful framework in many instances, for while there is no punishment meted out in your terms, the individual is then prepared for some kind of spiritual examination and evaluation. Those who understand thoroughly that reality is self-created will have least difficulty. Those who have learned to understand and operate in the mechanics of the dream state will have great advantage. A belief in demons is highly disadvantageous after death, as it is during physical existence. A systemized theology of opposites is also detrimental. If you believe, for example, that all good must be balanced by evil, then you bind yourself into a system of reality that is highly limiting and that contains within it the seeds of great torment. In such a system, even good becomes suspect, because an equal evil is seen to follow it. The God versus devil, angels versus demons, the gulf between animals and angels, all of these distortions are impediments. In your system of reality now, you set up great contrasts and opposing factors. These operate as root assumptions within your reality. They are extremely superficial and largely the result of misused intellectual abilities. The intellect alone cannot understand what the intuitions most certainly know. In trying to make sense in its terms of physical existence, the intellect has set up these opposing factors. The intellect says, if there is good, there must be evil, for it wants things explained in neat parcels. If there is an up, there must be a down, there must be balance. The inner self, however, realizes that in much larger terms, evil is simply ignorance, that up and down are neat terms applied to space, which knows no such directions.
10:25.
A strong belief in such opposing forces is highly detrimental, however, for it prevents an understanding of the facts of inner unity and of oneness, of interconnections and of cooperation. A belief, therefore, an obsessional belief in such opposing factors, is perhaps the most detrimental element, not only after death, but during any existence. There are some individuals who have never experienced during physical life that sense of harmony and oneness in which such opposing factors merge. Such individuals have many stages to go through following transition, and usually many other physical lives ahead of them. As you form your physical existence individually and collectively, so after the time of choosing, you join others who have decided upon the same general kind of experience. A strong cooperative venture is then begun as preparations are made. These will vary according to the type of existence chosen. There are general patterns, therefore. No individual's reality is identical with another's, and yet there are overall groupings. You may take your break.
10:34. At first, I thought the break was announced because our cat, Willie, had jumped up into Jane's lap while she was speaking. She flinched, so I thought he interrupted her. But upon coming out of trance, Jane said she hardly remembered the incident. Her pace had again been fast. Resume in the same manner at 10:44.
Quite simply, a belief in the good without a belief in the evil may seem highly unrealistic to you. This belief, however, is the